We've been here before, not this particular space. We love Gary Danko, and we love his restaurant called Gary Danko. And we came back on this trip to San Francisco to find out what's cooking, and it's funny on his drawing board. Gary, we're in this funny place. Now, where are we, and tell us what your plans are for all this expansion of a new twist on your business.
Well, we are we're basically in our offices right now, which is a block and a half from the restaurant, and we're in the cannery, which used to be an old peach canning factory. 30 years ago, it was remodeled by Chris Martin's father. So basically, I am expanding on my, well, basically, I look at it like a finger that's poking itself out of Gary Danko, which is fine, high-end private dining. And also, it will have the ability to do multiple things in this space. And so I'm looking at a multi-use space where we can do private dining. You know, imagine three rooms that will seat 35 people. One of them will have a, not a commercial kitchen, that'll be in the back, but it will have a home kitchen, you know, very residential looking, high end, of course. And that is where I will teach classes as well as some guest chefs. And then also do many things like do a demonstration dine where people come in. The room is not set in school fashion, but in fine dining fashion, you know, tablecloths, silver, china, crystal, and I will actually demonstrate the meal as we serve it to them as part of a sort of interactive evening with Gary Danko. So that's what I'm working on.
Well, this is really going to be something, listeners. It's such a creative idea, and it's market driven. Gary, tell us why you have this need. You saw this need in San Francisco for this kind of a space.
Well, for the last 7 years, you know, basically since Gary Danko's been open, and even before that when I was at the Ritz-Carlton dining room, you know, we had a private room at the Ritz which sat 18 people, and, you know, we could have sold that like two times a night. And so just coming to Gary Danko and listening to the phone calls, people are calling us and asking us if we would sell the restaurant out for the evening, you know, anywhere from 30 to 70 people. And, you know, since I don't really do that because I think it interrupts our, you know, guests that dine with us, you know, every day, every week, every month, we have in essence turned away that segment of the business. So in this one, we basically can serve really high-end meals for 35 people or less, and really sort of tailor those meals to the guest's needs. And there's really no place in San Francisco where if people call you to refer them to get private dining on such a level. If you give them the hotels, they will give you the space, but typically your food will come out of the banquet department. And so this one is, you know, very, very high-end. It's very similar to what I used to do when I worked at Barringer Vineyards, where we would have 35 guests come, and basically I would, you know, tailor the wine, I mean the food, to go with the wine that was paired that evening. And so in many ways I feel sometimes the meals can be even better that way, and, you know, it has this sort of chez Panisse-ness to it also, that there will be one set menu for that night, and really the focus will be on preparing that menu. So
give us the timetable and details. I mean, probably if you're talking about soon, people should already get on the horn and make reservations.
Well, basically we're shooting for like June, so probably it's like 6-7 months from now. So, you know, currently we're just finishing up with the city. We have all our preliminaries. They're just drawing the final so that they can get the city's approval and stuff. We have our liquor license, which is a good sign. And so it will be starting probably in June at some time. And also I'm going to start sort of gradual and sort of, you know, I believe that a space kind of develops as you sort of let it develop. I don't want to open it up to a big sort of boom. And also when you're trying to book such a multi-use space, you're going to have to be able to really identify what room, how many people, and then actually what is going to be going on. Is it going to be a demonstration that day, a hands-on? Is it going to be, you know, three rooms with separate menus? And so there's a lot of sort of things to answer, but those are going to come in the next few months. And so, but it's exciting. We're happy.
You showed me the more or less raw space. Talk to us a little bit about the woodwork and where it came from, and also just match up so we have some idea of where you're going. This with your interest in art.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've always sort of taken things that I've been given, and you know, when we acquired our office space 5 years ago, there was this room next door to, or this series of rooms. And I walked into it, and I was like, it was like walking into like an Elizabethan manor. So basically, it's this very sort of interesting room. It's wood paneled, 16th century, and actually these panels were owned by William Randolph Hearst collection. And the gentleman that remodeled the cannery 30 something years ago got wind of them and actually bought them from the Hearst collection and shipped them to San Francisco and installed them into these two rooms. So when you walk in, you're going to see sort of dark paneling that's, you know, basically chiseled. It's not a highly refined chisel, but they're really quite beautiful, rich wood, and there are actually two working fireplaces, one in each room. And then the third room is left up to my interpretation. So although it's not my first choice for decor, you know, I have the ability to sort of juxtapose it with modern art, which is one of my loves. And I like to sort of move art around and have it as an installation and sort of themes. Of course, the lighting you saw will be very different. The carpet will be very different. but it'll be a really great space. And also we have audiovisual needs for, you know, corporate world that want to present their, you know, their PowerPoint presentations, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a very different space, very unique, and it's one of those spaces that I think that people really enjoy.
A business person, and you have all these new ventures, but you're also like one of the great towns, chef-wise, in the country, mm-hmm. And you've got a new menu here that we're going to sample tonight, your autumn menu. Could you just look at it, look over it, and tell us what you're really excited about putting on there?
Well, basically, you know, we're leaving like this summer, like late, you know, I think it's a slightly different on the East Coast, but, you know, our tomatoes are right in their prime right now. And so those are sort of giving way, as well as, you know, the figs and stuff like that. So we're starting to head into, you know, basically the cabbages and the pumpkins. Corn, I always consider sort of a late, you know, fall item, basically heading into that. So we're going to sort of head into like truffles and stuff like that. We're leaving the summer truffles, and then in the next month, we're going to start getting the white truffles, and then into the black ones. What else are we doing? We have bison on the menu, which has been very, very well received, and that is with fall vegetables and the black pepper gnocchi. What else do we have going? Let's see, the foie gras, always a favorite. Again, moving from figs, caramelized figs, into caramelized Fuji apples and such. So, you know, those are one of the signature dishes. We still have our lobster, which is sort of summer, which is chanterelle mushrooms, white corn, and tarragon on a bed of potato puree and stuff. So, and then just heading into like the pumpkin spice cake with ginger snap ice cream, you know, all of those sort of fall sort of settling in, more hearty, getting ready to sort of head into the cooler months, although in California we're having some of our best weather right now. So it, you know, that's basically where we're heading with that menu, you know, heading into fall greens like Treviso, with our Bagnole vinaigrette, you know, sort of a more sort of robust, more bitter version of Caesar salad and stuff, but quite delicious with anchovies, the white pickled anchovies.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. You're getting me hungry. I thought I wasn't going to be able to eat another meal, but now I'm really prepped up to eat. Keep us posted on everything you're doing, will you?
I will. Definitely will keep in touch with you, and hopefully we'll see you again soon, maybe in May. Maybe at the Beard Awards.
We are in love with Gary Danko and his restaurant in San Francisco. I would have given him the big award for food, but he's already won all those. He now has the Outstanding Service Award. Congratulations, Gary. And tell us what's new on the horizon.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, and we're very excited about getting a service award. So what's new? San Francisco. you know, we turned 7 years old soon, very soon. And, you know, basically we're still a busy restaurant and stuff like that. I haven't left for Las Vegas yet or anything, but no, I'm not. Just holding down the fort, as we say.
You only have one restaurant.
Yeah, I have one restaurant, and that's, you know, what I plan to keep at this speaking. So
you're not really considering Las Vegas.
No, I'm not. I'm just teasing. So, you know, we are probably going to develop a space close to the restaurant for private dining. In that, you know, we're only a 65-seat restaurant, and people are always wanting us to close service for a private event. So we do have a need for private dining room in San Francisco. So we're going to probably work in that direction. Same food. We'll still be part of Gary Danko, but we'll be able to accommodate the needs that people keep requesting of us. So
We've always thought that the service was really superior at your restaurant. But I mean, I have to tell you, what sucked us in was the food. Give us an idea of a few of your signature dishes.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Signature.
You know, the F word, we have foie gras, which, you know, I feel we have some of the best foie gras in the country. Just, you know, it's a seared hot foie gras. Typically, we serve it with some caramelized onions that have like a vinegar and, you know, honey glaze on them. And currently we're doing it with rhubarb, which is quite delicious. I would say roast lobster has always been one of my like signature dishes. Growing up on the East Coast, you know, I always sort of reminisce of like a great clam, an oyster bake, you know, like, so we have basically a roast lobster, which now we have it with asparagus tips and morel mushrooms. It's a season, and it rests on a, you know, a bed of potato puree. So, and those garnishes move with the season. So also we have, you know, the dry-aged lamb, which we do. We take it, basically it's a loin. We clean it of all of the fat, and then typically we'll chop garlic, parsley, you know, those herbs like from Provence that do so well with lamb, rosemary, thyme, garlic, and then cook it and serve it on a Tiano vegetable. So we always try to put enough vegetable in the meal and, you know, protein, you know, appropriate. I think everybody's trying to get more, you know, complex carbs and vegetables into their diet, so we try to do both of those in pretty much all of the dishes. So,
no, I mean, I'm sitting as he's reciting these things, I'm drooling. The food at this restaurant is so fabulous, and you're just like an ordinary guy.
Yes, chefs are ordinary people too. So, and I grew up in a large family in upstate New York, so, you know, having brothers and sisters, you know, throws you out into the world, and you know. With the ability to cook and, like, you know, entertain guests and please guests, I had derived this pleasure from serving people. And so that's, you know, part of the spirit of us winning this award is that, you know, all of the people that work in that restaurant serve our guests in one form or another, whether they're washing dishes or answering the telephone. And that's really what great service is all about. The service world has changed so immensely. You know, people want things faster these days. They want it their way. And they want it served very pleasantly. And, you know, if you add that to having a great food in a great space, that's really what the ultimate restaurant experience is about. It's really the complete picture of, you know, going in there and really just sort of being taken care of. And, you know, you sort of relinquish yourself and let, you know, relax and let the, you know, the captains take care of you and the sommeliers select wines for you. And I know when I go out to dinner, I don't really want to make choices and, you know, I want the staff to do it because they know what the restaurant does best. So,
he's too much. I mean, he really explains well. He represents his restaurant well. And everybody should just go to this restaurant in San Francisco. Thank you so much and congratulations.
Well, thank you very much and have a great day. Thank you.